With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft,
the Los Angeles Clippers select
the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
Welcome to Robin Hoop, an NBA Draft show here on Dash Radio's Nothing Net channel, where we bring rich takes to the poorly informed. And it is Tyrell Terry time this week. He is the focus on this episode. We've got a couple great guests to talk about his game, so definitely stay tuned for that. Remember, you're listening to Dash Radio's Nothing Net channel. We are Robin Hoop, NBA draft coverage, and each week we are going to focus on a different player. If you have not seen our past episodes, I definitely encourage you to listen in. Anywhere podcasts are found, you can find the Robin Hoop radio show in podcast form. Now, diving into Tyrell Terry's game, I will say I'm from Minnesota. I want him to succeed, but at the same time, he's just so incredibly talented in so many facets of the game. Now, anyone that knows the name Tyrell Terry and follows the college basketball at all understands his biggest selling point, of course, is going to be his shooting. An absolutely fantastic shooter. Now, let's go over some of the vitals and statistics. So he is 6'1". 160, and that is with shoes, by the way, as far as the height is concerned. Obviously a freshman. He is young. Well, we're talking 19 years of age, which is good to see. He will turn 20 before the draft just because of the way the draft is set up now. So that's one thing to keep in mind when you're kind of looking at that statistic. I know for a lot of people, age can be some sort of a determining factor when they're ranking people, and that can make a difference, but he's only played 1 year of college, and I'm not too worried about anything in that area. Lots of room for improvement, but he doesn't necessarily need a lot of improvement. There are some things, though, that we will touch on in terms of strengths and weaknesses in this week's show. Looking at some of the statistics, there's a few that I definitely want to highlight, but we'll go through some of the numbers. Now, if you're looking at his field goal percentage, 44% overall, which is obviously you'll take that, 47% from two, but just under 41% from three. That, of course, is really good, and you look at those statistics, you're very excited. Then you see his free throw percentage, 89%, which for anyone that follows college basketball, covers the draft, the one thing you look for from good shooters is good free throw shooting. And now you're talking about a guy that's in college, almost a 50-40-90 guy. Now you jump into the NBA, obviously those numbers probably aren't going to stick. Free throw, sure. But the caveat for watching his game is that you do notice there are strength concerns. And that's part of the reason why I do think those numbers could be higher if he can get stronger. And we'll actually talk about that with one of our guests later in the show. And he'll be able to touch on some of the concerns regarding the strength issues that obviously were apparent. I mean, look at Tyrell Terry, not exactly a muscular guy. There are concerns jumping into the NBA level. Is he going to put on the necessary strength, the necessary muscle in order to be more effective? Because some of the weaknesses in his game are definitely built on the fact that he's just not strong enough yet. But again, he's young. It's not like this is some old guy. I have every ounce of confidence that he's going to be able to put on the right muscle, especially when he gets into the NBA. And, you know, you're talking now, he's working with that strength and conditioning team. And Come on, the NBA strength and conditioning teams, the people that you work with in that organization are going to put you in a position to succeed. I mean, they have methods and things they've done that are tried and true. So I do think that's going to end up not being as big of a concern as some people think it is right now. Let's keep diving into the stats, though. Now, statistically, what I really want to touch base on is some of the areas where Synergy has him as very, very good, or I guess in their case, excellent and really high ranking. Specifically, when you look at like picks or off screens, his game really pops. 95th percentile is his rank as far as off screen games. 1.409 as far as points per possession, which is very, very good. And it's not a small sample size either, by the way. And that's 31 points you count for there, which is good to see. Really, the only issues when you look at his overall offensive game would be his side out of bounds plays. They haven't been very effective when he's been a part of that. But just in terms of the picks and screen games, it is absolutely like almost shocking what you see from that, including let's just go over some of this. So if you talk about his shooting range, very good at the rim. He is very good from 3-point range, actually in the 90th percentile. For threes, and the 62nd percentile as far as his at the rim. And again, one thing we're going to see about that is he's going to get stronger, and he's going to be able to be then stronger as far as his finishing game. But he's already solid there. The only issue that you run into with his game is his mid-range game, or as they call it, medium shooting, is not good. It is below average. He ranks in the 18th percentile. But again, this is the modern NBA. That's not a shot you're going to want guys taking for the most part. There's some players, obviously, that are exceptions. A good example would be the other team that I cover, the Timberwolves. D'Angelo Russell, very effective from the mid-range. So some guys are very effective from that, and so you're going to obviously let them take advantage because they're very efficient, but that's not something you're going to see with Tyrell Terry. Not saying that can't be a part of his game. He's a very good shooter. Now, one thing I'll say, I've seen people talk about how he's a little inconsistent. We're going to have his trainer on later on in the day, and he's going to touch on just that. So those are things you want to keep in mind when you listen to our interview later with his trainer, Joey Burton. Now, going over some of the more high-end skills that he possesses, again, a lot of it has to do with his pick-and-roll play, his action off of screens. So as a pick-and-roll ball handler, you look at what he's able to accomplish. He is excellent dribbling off the pick, 85th percentile, 1.06 points per possession. These are things that really jump off the page. How about this? When he takes a dribble off a pick and then takes a dribble jumper, 98th percentile, 1.75 points per possession. I mean, seriously jumps off the page. No questions asked. Excellent. And how about this? Dribbling off the pick in general, 75% of the time, and he is in the 100th percentile. I mean, let that sink in. And a big part of that, by the way, is that his points per possession goes up to 2 points per possession, which is really good when we're talking about taking it to the basket. Very, very small sample size, by the way. Very small sample size. Only 3 possessions. But the point is, when it comes to off-the-screen game, the pick-and-roll game, he has shown in many instances very, very effective. Now, much like most prospects in this draft class, he is not without marks. You know, there are issues that he struggles. And this is one that I really want to touch on because it's crazy. Now, again, it's not a huge sample size, 10 possessions, but he is in the 1 percentile. So for good reason, that is considered poor. We're talking when he drives to the right and pulls up for a jumper. So 10 possessions, not crazy. We're not talking about a ton of possessions. We're not talking about a large sample size. But that's just something that kind of jumped off the page to me when looking at his Synergy stats. And so watch that and kind of keep an eye on that. But ultimately, let's look at his overall game as far as an offensive player. We talked about the screen games, pick and rolls, that sort of thing. One thing that I think is very underrated in his game is passing. I think he's a very underrated passer. Now, the one thing I will caution people is that I do have issues with his dribbling. If you watch him in high school, though, it was less of an issue. But again, that's because you're seeing a big jump in competition level. When you go from high school to college, it is a huge difference. And now you're talking about college to the pros, an even bigger leap in terms of the change in competition levels. So again, a lot of that stuff is going to bear down on how strong he can get physically. Once he gets that in check, I think the sky's the limit for him as a player. But even before that happens, are you telling me he's going to come into the league and not be able to put up these shooting numbers? I think he can, especially from deep. Now, it's going to be a little interesting because there's issues maybe with the ball handling. I do think he is, like I said, an underrated passer. If you watch his game, I'm actually quite impressed with his passing and his vision. Maybe that didn't translate fully, at least as long as, let's look at the, if you're talking about the eye test, maybe that didn't translate fully from high school to college, but the big thing you have to talk about, and we're actually going to touch on this with Coach Adam Spinella, who we talked to, one of our guests, he actually brings up a good point, and that talks about the motion offense. And the offense that they use at Stanford is not an offense where you're going to see a player who's going to jump off the page stats-wise looking at specifically assists. But if you look at the number of assists, so their coach Haas has run this motion offense since he's been there. And the numbers for assists for Terry are right on par with the numbers you have for every single Stanford team that Haas has coached as far as the top assist getter. So he's right in there. So he's been effective. And keep in mind, here's the other portion of that. The guy that in the previous years that was the leading assist getter is still on the team. So Terry was able to put up those numbers despite having another primary ball handler, another primary facilitator on the team. So he was still able to put up decent assist numbers. And obviously looking at the specifics, John Davis is the player I was speaking of, actually, just to put a name to those statistics. Now, if you look at this season, Tyrell Terry, 3.2 assists per game. Dejon Davis, 3.7. So right there, they're right around the same number, and those are the guys that you would want to see that from. Now, if we look at previous seasons, so starting off with that 18-19 season, Dejon Davis on the team, 4.4 assists. And that's no one else is really close to him when you look at those statistics. There's no other primary facilitator or anyone else that comes close to that in terms of assists. So that's why you see the difference between, you know, Terry at 3.2 and Dejon Davis at 4.4. So I think it's that much more impressive that he's able to do that with a primary facilitator. Now you look at the 17-18 season, taking a look again, Dejon Davis, 4.8 assists per game. Just again, no one else is close to that number. So he is the only guy on the team that's really set up that way. There's other guys, obviously, that are getting assists. You know, you got guys at one, you got guys at two a game. But as far as the primary player that you're going to see that from. And so I think that just really puts emphasis on what Tyrell Terry is going to be able to do at the next level. Again, very underrated passer. Good vision. And here's the thing. We talk about how in many instances, players that are really high or good at, with passing and vision, a lot of them are setting those things up with their dribbling. And Terry at this stage hasn't really shown he's been able to do that. Now, at the high school level, he was able to do that a little more. And actually looking at his statistics there in the state tournament, for example, in the 18-19 season, how about this? 8.3 assists per game, just 1.7 turnovers per game. I mean, that's huge. Your assist to turnover rate is fantastic if you're Tyrell Terry in high school. So I do think when he gets to that next level, gets a little stronger, he's going to be able to be a more effective ball handler. And on top of that, he's not a bad ball handler. It's not like I look at his game and say, oof, that's not good. But very similar to how his passing is underrated, I do think the dribbling does have some area. That's an area that he needs to focus on, I think, getting stronger. And so I think we'll see that ultimately once he makes it to the next level. You know, he's working with a really good trainer this offseason. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. And there's lots to touch on about his game. Now, one thing I'll say, let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball. So on the defensive end of things, you see a player that is, I would say, again, underrated. Not a lot of people like to talk about his defense, or at least not that I've seen. A lot of draft analysts just kind of gloss over that. But ultimately, if you watch him, he's a really solid defender. Moves his feet very well, moves laterally well. It makes pretty good decisions, and he's a fighter out there. We talked about the strength concerns. That happens. Like, there are issues as far as strength is concerned. And so when you watch him on the defensive end, if you take that into account, I got to say, very impressive. Some people kind of like to use the word flash. I don't know that I'm necessarily going to say he's shown flashes. I actually think he's been fairly consistent on that end. And so I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm super worried, because I do think he's going to be pretty good at the next level. And, you know, per game stats, 1.4 steals. Surprisingly enough, given he's not real tall, 0.1 blocks. So he did have some things where you were jumping off the page there. You're saying, all right, that's pretty good. Defensive rating, you know, there's not a lot of great defensive stats. A lot of people say that steals do translate well, though, so that's one thing that's nice. His defensive rating is a 91.3, or at least it was in the one season at Stanford. Defensive box plus minus, that was a 2.7. And then defensive win shares, 2.3. Just for, you know, for people that are really into those defensive stats, I don't necessarily love the defensive stats you get at any length, whether you're looking at pros, high school, college. At the next level, I anticipate him ending up being a positive defender. At a minimum, he'll be average, but I do think he has the tools to be a positive defender. A lot of it's going to depend on the team. A lot of it's going to depend on the scheme. If you look at how he's going to be most effective, given he's not real tall, I think, and my understanding is he does want to be a point guard. So he's going to have to play with bigger shooting guard players if they're going to use him, because I do think some teams are going to want to take advantage of his shooting ability, at least early on. And so if you're going to play him at that shooting guard position, you need a bigger facilitator. So which team is he going to go to? Is he going to go to a team that has a larger facilitator? We talk about this very often, but you know, a guy like Luka Doncic, a guy like LeBron James, players that have that size and have that ability to facilitate, Nikola Jokic, right? I know some people think that Tyrell Terry would be a great asset to a team like Denver. Ultimately, if you look across the league, I think Tyrell Terry could be a great asset to any team. A lot of it's just going to be how he develops physically. So that's where we're at with that. We're going to get into the interviews now. You're listening to Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. This is the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show, this week focusing on Tyrell Terry. All right, welcome back to Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show. To start this week's show, we are joined by basketball trainer Joey Burton, who has worked with a number of prospects and NBA players, including this week's focus, Tyrell Terry. Joey, thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let me ask you this, more of a general question. When you first meet with a player, is there a general message or mindset that you stress that you kind of feel is important? Or another way to put it would be, what is your expectation for players that you are going to train?
I think it's different for each player depending on where they're at in their careers. And obviously with Tyrell being a player that's in a pre-draft situation and he's 19 years old and he has a unique situation. He told me that when he first got to Stanford, he was just hoping that he could maybe start. And then by January, he started to feel that he might have a chance at going to the NBA after his freshman year. So especially with him, we're just really focused on him understanding it's a process and that this year looks a lot different than normal years, obviously. But I think it's going to benefit him. He does need to work on his stature. He does need to work on his physical growth. And so these extra months of being able to work out and focus on those things is so crucial.
Now, you've worked obviously really close with Terry. What's one of the things that comes to mind first when someone mentions Tyrell Terry? So whether it's him as a player or a person.
Well, I've talked to several coaches that coached against him when he was in high school through Twitter and just our social media contacts. And they all said the same thing. That he's just a great young man, that he is very smart and he's very gifted. And then in the basketball side of things, he just his shooting ability is just so natural. You know, many times I've worked with players through the draft process that we've had to actually work on their mechanics. Last year, I had Jarrell Brantley, who got drafted by Utah Jazz in the second round, and we had to work on his shooting mechanics for him to have that opportunity. And Ty's not one of those guys. There's some slight adjustments. There's some things that we're trying to continue to emphasize to make him better and to have him more disciplined. But as far as the foundation of the shooting stroke and the mechanics, it's right up there with the best of them that I've worked with.
Yeah, you know, you kind of mentioned how some players you have to tweak more than others. And you watch Terry. What's great about watching him shoot is it's very repeatable, the motion that he actually uses to shoot with. You know, if you look ahead to the NBA, how special in terms of shooting can Terry be, do you think?
Well, I think he could be very special. You know, some of those smaller guards that he's been compared to, one of their common, you know, strength is shooting, but I also think I'd get more specific. It's the way they shoot. They all usually have one fluid motion. It's quick, and they're not necessarily jumping really high on their jump shot, but like you said, it's repeatable because it's one fluid motion. And I think he could really get to a higher level of shooting than he's already displayed as a freshman. He, like I said, there are some things he has a tendency sometimes to get a little low on his arc, and improving his arc, improving the consistency of his follow through are little things that were working, but they can make a big difference.
Now, aside from shooting, is there anything else that you've kind of worked on with him as far as improvements this offseason?
Yeah, his ball handling. He has a tendency to get the ball a little bit too high and a little bit, too wide. And he's had the opportunity to work out with Yogi Ferrell while the quarantine was going on. And Yogi has a really tight handle, stays low to the ground with it. And so he was able to, offer him some advice, and just getting that, player-to-player advice that I feel is always beneficial for young guys. And so we've been working on that, making sure that he keeps that ball tight and closer to his body, and being able to have a better control of the ball as he's navigating through ball screens and different situations on the floor.
Yeah, with Terry, it's interesting. You watch him when he was playing in high school versus playing at Stanford, and I really felt like his ball handling was more of a strength in high school. And I think part of that is, you jump in competition from high school to the college level, and things change quite a bit, and you have to be a lot more polished. You can't be loose with the handles. And so I do think it's important to see him address that and just make that crisp, because once you get into the NBA, obviously it's another step in terms of level of competition. Do you think, when he jumps into the NBA, is his goal to be maybe a point guard, a shooting guard? Do you think he can be versatile in terms of position?
Yeah, I mean, I think he would love to be a full-time point guard, but because of his ability to shoot, he's going to have opportunities to play off the ball. And, Yogi Ferrell is one of my clients, and him being a smaller guard in Dallas, a lot of times he played off the ball. And because of his ability to shoot and be able to do other things and just be a point guard. So I think Tyrell ultimately would like to move into that full-time point guard role, but he understands that it's a process, but I think he could be effective off the ball as well because of his ability to shoot.
You touched earlier, and other people have talked on this. Obviously there's strength concerns or, physical concerns with Tyrell jumping in. Have you already seen, because he puts in obviously a lot of work in the offseason, have you started to see improvements in that area just in terms of, strength? Because, physically where he's at right now versus what he's going to face in the NBA, obviously there'd be some concerns there.
Yeah, he's already added 10 pounds of lean muscle mass. He's eating a very high protein, clean diet. He's lifting 5 days a week. So, that's the thing you can't rush is physiology. And so he's addressing it. And I think this is just the perfect opportunity. It's so hard to gain weight during the pre-draft process of a normal year because you're really not in the same place maybe more than 3 or 4 weeks, and then you get right into workouts and you're traveling and you're flying and you're doing a lot of traveling, so it's hard to lift, it's hard to stay true to the diet that you need to be able to gain weight. So he's been very disciplined in his approach to his body. The hardest thing a lot of people, I don't think they understand, is when guys are smaller like that, they have a hard time being able to physically eat the amount of calories that they need to be able to add the weight. So it took him a good 2 weeks to start getting used to eating the food that he needed to eat, or the amount of food that he needed to eat in order to be able to gain the weight that he needed to gain. And he's done a great job. And I really believe that by the time the draft comes around, he could be right at like 170, 175. And I think that would be huge for him.
Yeah. And I think that's a pretty huge improvement in just in terms of being able to gain that muscle, especially given, like you said, and this is something I hadn't really thought about, but a normal pre-draft process is so much different than what we're seeing now. And most people kind of see this as a, a negative. You know, there's some prospects that really need to be able to get out there, get in front of teams, you know, have combine, things like that. But it's nice to hear that there's actually are, you know, some positives to the way the pre-draft process has gone so far. And that's good to see. What one area that I think about when it comes to, you know, strength in his game is on defense. I've been really impressed, and I think it's a really underrated aspect of his game, is his ability to defend. And the strength is going to definitely make a big difference there. Do you guys do any sort of work in involving the defensive end of basketball?
Yeah, he's guarding Jeff Teague in one-on-one. So I think that's a pretty you know, good way to work on your defense, is going against a guard like Jeff Teague, who's a veteran, who is explosive, fast, and is extremely skilled. So he's playing ones against NBA, you know, level of talent right now. And so that's something that's helping him to understand how to, you know, battle through some physical encounters that he has to be able to hold his ground. So those things are good. He's, you know, guarded a guy that's in our workouts, Keelan Martin, who is on was on two-way with Minnesota before the season. You know, one season got canceled, but he's up there in Minnesota, and he's guarded him. Who's a, you know, Keelan Martin, 6'6", 220. So just putting him in those different situations and already having him experience guarding different sizes and speeds in the NBA, I think is really critical for him to improve his defense. One thing studying film of him is his off the ball positioning is pretty terrific. And I know that in the NBA, you know, guarding your yard is really hard. These players are so skilled offensively, but what's even more probably harder for younger players to get is the off ball positioning and how to rotate and where to be when you're you know, tagging a role man and how to do that. And that's something I think Tyrell has a really good knack of off the ball, and he has the ability to comprehend and retain information at a high rate. So I think his off the ball defense is going to benefit him as well.
And off-ball defense is so important in today's NBA. You see a lot of team schemes and team concepts where that's really important. A lot of people think, you know, if you're not a good on-ball defender, you're just not a good defender. And that can't be farther from the truth. And it's, I will say, you know, being from Minnesota myself, very familiar with Jeff Teague, very familiar with Keelan Martin, big fans of both their games. And being able to go up against those type of players, I think is really going to be beneficial for him at the next level, because it really gets him prepared for high levels of competition. So, I mean, that's really good to see. Do you feel like most of his skills are really transferable to the NBA game?
Oh, definitely. You know, I love that he doesn't have, you know, rely on just physical talent. There's a lot of players that have entered the NBA relying on physical talent, and the skill doesn't always catch up. And so I think it's always easier to get your physical ability to catch up, you know, than your skill set. And so Tyrell has some NBA skill sets, and I think his skill of just knowing how to play, he plays the right way. He's very selfless, and I think the brain that he has to comprehend and retain the sets and the different things that they'll be, you know, throwing at him, I think he's going to be able to be effective whenever his opportunity is presented.
Let me ask you this. What is something that you feel is important people know about Terry that you wouldn't really necessarily know just from watching him play? So watching games, this is maybe something that you would know because you work so closely with him.
That he has, I think he has this unique ability to ask why. Why are we doing this? How does this, you know, how does this relate? You know, he's very cognitive. He asks questions. He's not afraid to, you know, seek answers. And I think that's critical for young players. They're trying to learn the game. Just last week, he stayed after, and I could just see that he was picking Jeff Teague's brain and asking Jeff Teague questions. And it just was really, really cool to see, you know, that a young player isn't intimidated to, you know, seek and ask. I feel like a lot of young players, especially getting into the NBA, are just, hey, I'm just here. I just do what I'm told. And he's very coachable, but he's also asking why. He's asking, how does this relate? And what do I need to do to be able to be even better at it? So I don't think you could see that on the court, but I think that's a skill that is going to benefit him greatly at the next level.
Yeah, it sounds like he's really, as they say, a student of the game, which is good to see.
Yes.
And it's one thing for someone to tell you, all right, this is what I want to see you do. But it's another thing, I think, to understand it and to understand why you're doing it. You know, you're on the court. I think that helps you to see different things. When you know why you're doing something, you're able to kind of look for that. And I think that helps you improve in game as well. I got one last question for you here before I let you go. If you're an NBA team, why do you want to draft Tyrell Terry?
I would say first and foremost, he's going to add value to your culture. He's going to be a player that shows up every day and does his job. He's going to be a player that will execute the role that you ask him to do. So first and foremost, outside of just necessarily basketball, he would add value to your culture. Second of all, I would say that if you need shooting and you want a player that could grow and develop physically, and you have some time to allow that to happen, you're going to possibly have a really top-rated shooting guard, whether it's point guard, shooting guard, at your hands. And still will be young in a few years, 21, 22 years old. So I think those are the two, you know, big things. And then you're going to have a player that is just extremely smart and really understands, and he's going to pick up on things. So there's going to when things are being taught, and, you know, in training camps, things move sometimes very fast for rookies. He's going to pick up on it a lot quicker than many other players because of his ability to see, to understand, and then to be able to apply it.
I think that's all awesome to hear. And, you know, I really look forward to seeing Tyrell at the next level. I really appreciate you jumping on. Where can people find you if they want to follow you on social media?
I'm on Twitter. It's just my name, Joey Burton, B-U-R-T-O-N. And then my Instagram handle is Coach Joey Burton. And you can follow me, and I tweet about basketball stuff and sometimes show videos of different workouts or sometimes breakdown videos. So I try and add some value to other coaches and players through what I share on social media.
Perfect. Well, thanks again for joining us.
Appreciate it, Rob. You have a great day, okay?
Yep, you as well.
All right, thank you.
All right, welcome back to Robin Hoop here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. This episode, we are fortunate to be joined by Adam Spinella, Dickinson College assistant men's basketball coach. Adam, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Now, in addition to your work at Dickinson, you're a Celtics blog contributor, as well as you have your own site, theboxandone.weebly.com. But that isn't all. You've done writing and work for a lot of different sites. Plus, you helped to co-found RDSN, the Dickinson College Sports Broadcasting Network. So given that, I wanted to start, go over your background a little bit, kind of tell us about your basketball journey and now your time with Dickinson as an assistant coach.
Sure. So I actually am a Dickinson alum, graduated from here in 2014, and kind of got the itch when I was in college to become a coach, and wasn't sure if I wanted to, you know, go the high school and college route, or if I was interested in trying to do front office and scouting work. So I have kind of threaded the needle a little bit and done a little bit of both. So I do quite a bit of obviously the coaching background. I've been coaching for now 6 years, going on year 7 in the prep school and college ranks. And then I also have been doing a lot of detailed writing and prospect breakdowns in particular over the last couple of years for a bunch of sites on the internet. So use a combination of X's and O's and kind of coaching tactics, especially with Celtics blog right now, and then individual player and particularly draft prospect breakdowns for a bunch of other sites.
Yeah, and so speaking of breakdowns, recently you wrote a piece about Tyrell Terry and the Stanford motion offense. I thought that was very insightful, especially given I do think he's a very underrated passer, and that's especially true because in high school I really thought we were able to see a pretty high level in terms of his passing. So I would love for you to touch on that article, which can be found on your website, and I do encourage our listeners to go check that piece out.
Absolutely, and you know, every time we talk about evaluating point guards or lead guards within an NBA offense, we're looking at certain skills that they have, particularly how they pass the ball. Do they make, you know, one-hand snap passes with their on-hand or off-hand? Do they read the spread pick and roll and the help defense really well to make the accurate and timely kick to one of their open teammates? And in Stanford's offense, in their kind of motion, which is based around ball screens, they have three guards that are going to be interchangeable in those positions. So Terry doesn't get to flash, and at least didn't this past year at Stanford, this ball dominant type of stature that would allow people to see a high volume of those skills that he could showcase. So it's almost like a lot of what he does well as a passer can be masked by the offense that he plays in. So when I dove into both their offense and to him as a prospect, one thing I was really looking for, and the question that I framed both the article and my scouting with, was, you know, can he make these passes and these accurate plays on a high volume, or is it something that the offense is designed to mask because it's not a strength of his? And you know, I think I landed more on the first part. I think he's a very underrated prospect and somebody that definitely has the skill set to kind of manage a higher load and higher volume with the ball in his hands.
One thing I notice when people dive into prospects or even just players in general is they like to look at whether it be box scores or just like individual statistics. And so when I kind of look at your piece, one thing that I kind of took from that and then moved over to Sports Reference, I kind of wanted to get a feel for Stanford's offense in general under Coach Haas. And so if you take a look at the assist numbers every single season, right around where Terry's at, just in terms of his assists per game, is right where the standard is for that Stanford offense since Haas has taken over. So Terry's really right at that point where you'd see those other players that have preceded him. In addition, while Haas has been there, now I can't think of the guy's name offhand, but the starting point guard that was there before is still there with Terry, and he was still getting around those same number of assists. And so I think it's actually that adds to what we see from Terry, that despite the guy that was leading still being on the team, he was still able to get around that same number of assists that you see from the lead guard. So that was good to see from my perspective. Now, as far as the lead guard and the NBA is concerned, do you see him translating as a lead guard, like a point guard, or do you think he's going to end up being maybe like a small shooting guard that would likely need a bigger facilitator to help offset the size limits that he has?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I think he's going to be the type of player that can succeed in both type of schemes. And a huge part of the NBA nowadays, as we see with guys like, you know, Kawhi Leonard or Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, like there are so many primary focal points of an offense who are above 6'6", 6'7". And those guys need somebody who can defend the point guard spot and shoot the ball and kind of operate in a spot up type of role. And I think Terry can do that and would be a perfect fit alongside some of the more front court focal pieces in the NBA. But if you're asking him to come in there and, you know, facilitate and handle with the second unit or even with the first unit where he's doing a lot of the creation, as long as there's shooters around him and guys that can blanket him a little bit on defense, I think his 3-point shooting is far too good, especially off the bounce, for him to not be in a role where he has the ball in his hands at least a decent amount of the time.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And one thing you touched on is being able to defend the point guard position. One thing I don't think he gets credit enough for, I was actually quite impressed with his defense. Not only team defense, but at times he was a pretty good on-ball defender. I think the biggest issue for him going to the next level is going to be just the strength, because he needs to put on muscle. He needs to get stronger if he's going to be able to defend NBA players off the bat. Do you think he's going to be, or at least could be, a decent defender at the next level? And do you think he will get strong enough to match up?
Yeah, so I guess I'll talk on the strength point first. I think that probably one of the more overrated things that we talk about for prospects who are 18 or 19 years old is where their body level and physicality is at. It always takes people time to develop, and everyone develops a little bit differently. So I don't view it as a fair criticism to say, like, he's never going to be strong just because he has a little bit of a slender frame as a teenager. So that may go into the question of whether he should return to Stanford or stay in the draft, but I don't think that it's going to preclude him from having a strong role in the NBA. As opposed to his specific defensive impact, Stanford was an elite defensive unit this past year, just a really, really good team. And the one area where Terry kind of stood out to me in his struggles is that he doesn't dodge contact on screens really well, and he gets knocked off balance a little bit by them. Again, the strength is going to help that, but he needs to be maybe a little bit smarter with his angles, changing how he pressures the ball if he's going to go over or underneath a ball screen. And when you guard a point guards, which is something that he's going to do because he's only 6'1 and doesn't have this wingspan that's going to allow him to guard up with bigger guards or wings, he definitely needs to get better at that point of attack and making sure that he's not going to be giving up open lanes to ball handlers every time there's a screen coming to be set.
My hope for that aspect of his game, because I agree, when you watch film, he does get hit by screens, and they affect him more than they should. The nice thing, I think, at the NBA level is going to be, whether it's the coaching staff, whether it's scouts, hopefully they can put him in a position to say, all right, this game coming up, we're playing Kyrie Irving, and this is how you got to guard him. And hopefully, there's going to be members of that staff that can put him in a place to be successful on that end of the court, because that can make a really big difference. And I guess when you talk about the strength concerns, I'm with you. What I see with a lot of scouts is they see someone that's, 18, 19 years old, and they sit here and they project and they go, he's just never going to get strong, or he's for sure going to get strong. And I just think at that age, there's no way to know what's going to happen. But I do think he's going to have the opportunity. You jump into the NBA level, you have that training staff, that strength staff, and I think they're going to be able to work with him and get him where he needs to be there. Aside from the size concerns, when I watch his game, the one area I have a little bit of a concern in is ball handling. What are your thoughts on that part of his game?
I don't think that he's necessarily a poor handler. I think it's just something that he needs to tighten up just a little bit. For me, it's more so that he over-penetrates a little bit of the time. And some of this comes into the concerns that people have about whether he can actually man and run the offense at an NBA level. He tends to know that he's going to be played tightly because he shoots it so well. And what he does afterwards is kind of try to get that defender on his back and go towards the basket. But his eyes aren't always consistently up. And that, for a lot of people, signifies a lack of trust or elite level ball handling. As like you're saying, as he continues to improve and sharpen some of his handling skills, he's going to get into the mid-range, become an even better decision maker, and do all of the things that point guards really need to do. So, again, I don't see it necessarily as a negative, because if you're asking me, kind of the easiest thing to fix for a guard is their ball handling skills.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do think he can definitely get better in that aspect. And again, when he's at Stanford, it wasn't necessarily something he's asked to do. It's not the standard, point guard has the ball, he's going to try to make some moves. You're not seeing that in that offense because it's very pass oriented. So I do think that's fair. And again, like you said, that's the one area where you can definitely see guys improve. And he's young. It's not like he's a 30-year-old and you're saying, all right, well, probably isn't going to get any better than this. He can definitely improve that aspect of his game. Now, if you're a team and you're looking at Tyrell Terry, what would you say a team that drafts him is going to get? Like, what do you see him, and you look at him, if you're a team, you say, all right, this is what I know I'm getting with Tyrell Terry. And do you feel like his game is going to translate well to the next level?
I think this is the perfect kind of NBA landscape meant to to really bring out the strengths in Tyrell Terry because he shoots it so well. And right now, there's never been a higher premium on three-point shooting from that guard spot. So I see him coming in, and like mentioned before, being the type of player that would be perfect to pair with someone in the front court who really, really is going to be the primary focus or facilitator. I think he's great off screens. He's great in a spot-up situation, and he's very, very good in transition. So I think an up-tempo team with kind of a bigger wing, and there's a lot of those in that maybe 16 to 30 range, that second half of the first round, that would be really, really happy with Terry if they got him this year.
And actually, that's the perfect segue then. So where do you think Terry likely goes in the draft? But in addition, where do you think he should go?
Yeah, so I'm a lot higher on Terry than it seems like the consensus is. I have him in the top 15 on my overall big board just because I love how he shoots it. And I think all of the kind of knocks on him for his offensive playmaking are very easily correctable mistakes. But I think probably he's best served. Like, I can't get this notion out of my head of him going to a team like Philadelphia, where he's going to be in that Landry Shamet type of role that they had a couple of years ago before they traded him to the Clippers. Just more of a guy that they run off screens and utilize as a decoy quite a bit, where the spacing and the gravity that he demands on the perimeter helps open things up on the inside. So, there's a lot of talk about should he return to school? Should he stay in the draft this year? I think next year's draft, one thing that we don't talk about a ton is it's going to be an elite level draft in 2021. And even if he goes back to school, adds weight, puts on strength, and kind of tightens up a lot of these concerns, there's probably a ceiling of somewhere in that top 10 to 12 where there's so many other prospects who are now a year younger than Terry and have these natural gifts that, you know, might be the best draft that we've seen since 2003. And I think that there's just this lack of upside for how high he can go in the draft if he comes back. That if I were him, if he gets a first round promise or a look in one of those teams, I would take it with all the uncertainty with next year's college basketball season.
Yeah, that's a good point too, that we don't really know what's going to happen with the college basketball season. On top of that, I mean, there's really no guarantees, number one, the kind of season you're going to have, but are you going to be able to get good enough and fix all the things that maybe scouts or teams see you as needing to improve on in that season? There's so many uncertainties there. And again, like you said, that 2021 draft class is going to be absolutely fantastic. And so there's a good chance that no matter what he does, there's still only so far that he can move up on the boards. And at that point, he's probably in the same realm or in the same conversation he is right now. And so to me, I think he's best served definitely to enter the draft and stay in it for this season. Now, I want to end it with this. As someone who covers the Celtics, is there a player or players that you like for them in the upcoming draft?
You know, I think Terry would be an awesome fit in Boston too. I think that their kind of depth at the guard and the wing spot would give him a little bit of time to mature and develop, which is something he definitely needs. But for the Celtics, you know, I love Jalen Smith from Maryland because I think they need somebody who's going to continue to be a stretch five, consistently knocking down shots. I really like Isaiah Joe as kind of a late, either a second round or with that 30th pick that they project to have, just a flyer kind of at the end of the first round because I love the way he shoots it. And I really like Xavier Tillman from Michigan State, another guy who's on the fence right now, whether he's going to stay in the draft or return. But his kind of playmaking, great teammate style, he's you know, bred for a win-now team like Boston.
Yeah, I think those would all be very good additions to the Celtics team, definitely. I want to end with this, give you a chance to promote any articles or work you have coming up, and then let people know where they can find you on social media.
Sure. So find me on Twitter at Spinella14, S-P-I-N-E-L-L-A-1-4. Doing work about once or twice a week for Celtics blog, including a segment that I love called the Film Room, breaking down different aspects on film of how the Celtics are playing. And then the boxin1.weebly.com is also a website that I curate. Just put out a bunch of scouting pieces. We do probably 115 to 120 scouting reports of players in this year's draft class that are up on our YouTube channel, as well as detailed written breakdowns. Most recent one was with Killian Hayes on talking about some of his shooting. So check out all this stuff in advance of the 2020 NBA draft, and would appreciate your follow. But Rob, thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And yes, I definitely want listeners to check out your work. Thanks again.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again to all our guests. I definitely encourage you to check them out on social media and any other platforms that they are available. As far as we are concerned, if you missed any of our show on Dash Radio's Another Minute channel, make sure you check us out in podcast form. We can be found on Spotify, Stitcher, Podium, iTunes, and anywhere else podcasts are found. Again, this has been Robin Hoop bringing rich takes to the poorly informed. And until next week, we'll see you.
With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft,
with the third
Minnesota
pick in the 2018
select
NBA draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft,
the Los Angeles Clippers
select
the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olowokandi from the
pick in the 2019 NBA draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
I think I'm gonna die alone. All I get to wear is funeral clothes. Watch me while I decompose. It's sad, but true, you know I'm gonna die alone. Figured it out while I'm in the ground, there's no kind of lining. Just laying around and counting the cracks, I'm in the ceiling. Just fooling around and breaking it down to find a meaning. I opened my mouth and you shut me down, you said you were leaving. Two and two, you were nasty, I can do math, it's not a feeling. Didn't think this would last no longer than that, you need you sleeping. I think I'm gonna die alone. Watch me while I decompose. It's sad but true, you know I'm gonna die alone. It's getting bad, I'm stressing a tad, I don't take it lightly. 2 days ahead, I'm calling your dad, I said it politely. It made you mad, you said it was fast, you maybe just slightly. She's coming to me, looking right through me, feeling too often. But honestly, I just wanna give up and get in my coffin. Put on my suit, don't bear any fruit and be forgotten. I think I'm gonna die alone. All I get to wear is funeral clothes. Watch me while I decompose. It's sad but true. Smell of me alone, but I don't see a reason to postpone. Might as well just throw them right to the stone. I wear a little.
Like what? What? Super thuggers thumping on the cut.
What? My motherfucking Uzi weighs a ton. Hit the drum till you hear it go.
Run, run. Piety just really isn't us. What a rush. See you cutting up a pie. That's my lunch.
Run. Your motherfucking pockets when I come. It's an honor to be robbed by Denise's only son. Yeah. Give her it, baby boy. Bit it. Moving extra heavy. Whipping Chevy. Gotta get it. Eat spaghetti with the mom. So vegan bitches eat them dick because they don't eat no steak and lobster. Sosa was my hero, honey. Tony's just a fucking
hobby. Out of mind, out of touch, out of time. And I smoke a bogey backwards with a thumb up like it's fine.
Run.
Sleep the supper, say. Supper sweet divine. Leave me here to drown in glory. You're too good to cross that line.
Run, run.
Tragically struck down in my prime by the speed at which the bags are dropping. Should've watched the sky. You don't wanna live this life. It's really not sublime. I'm only doing what I want behind me. Loogies at the swine.
Hey. Devastating, captivating, ghosting, ray relating, product of the fucking 80s, coke dealing babies, never regulating, bag accumulating, it would not be overstating to say they are underrated, proud of Brooklyn and the Grady, baby, we don't need no compliments or confidence, our attitude and latitude is fucking next summer, leather bummer, stooky ropes is smoking in the, ain't a team as mean and clean as Jay Maline and Michael Rinderbrock, TV got no temperature, even if it did, bitch, we cool as penguin pussy on the polar cap peninsula, colder than your baby mama heart, when she found out you been fucking with that other broad. And you ain't got that ripper.
I know you just about me fucking had it. Our shit is just magic. Go figure the run to the litter, did it without scamming. It's praying in the fat of the land. And your man is mashing. We back in the class of lap. And you raising a hand and tapping. Might shit it in your locker and let them know with a winky face. Meet us at 3 o'clock if you wanna do something tragic. We'll shrinky dinky all of that yapping. It's automated. The gears of the rapper shredder want action and it'll happen.
You know I'm popping a product of fucking poverty. I'm cool as AC and you niggas, you just wanna be. I slide on tracks like home plate, ride beats like road rage, got a crib like four states. I get a text like stay safe, text back. I miss that pussy, be home soon and I can't wait. I came from a dream, triple beam and some great tape. My sister went shopping, put my bags in the 8-8. Hello, Mr. Big Safe, the bank teller trying to get rank. I buy a hot dog stand if I'm trying to be frank. Just left the hospital making sure my nigga was straight. And sent Bear a couple dollars till they give him a date. Tony!